Well, Rob, first of all, you're a radio announcer. You've been town to town, up and down the dial, not to quote WKRP, but, you know, it's a true story, our industry. And you wrote a book called Beyond the Mic. So talk about your book just a little bit. How did this come to?
So this came to light because I feel like we all dealt with the pandemic differently. For me, therapeutic writing, I felt drawn to writing, and I would find places where it would be therapeutic to write. My in-law's backyard, they have a garden that is an oasis, that is a garden. Early Sunday mornings, I'd like to write. I'd find all different great times to write where it felt best, and I just felt drawn to it throughout the pandemic. I felt like everybody, in terms of doctors, let's say, they knew how to help COVID patients. Scientists know how to help COVID patients. I didn't know what to do when it came to COVID. Everything was a lot of, and I'm sure you can relate to this, a lot of noise above you where it really is above you. And I had to consult with a lot of people how to go about your life, because it's mental health when it comes down to it. So I knew as a person I couldn't help with people with that. So I figured I'm going to hunker down during COVID and say to myself, well, how can I help people with what I have gone through when it comes to certain conditions I've gone through, certain scenarios I've been in my life? And there are certain lessons that I reflected on that I feel in this book that could help others with their own daily life. And I really feel strongly about that. And so when I say therapeutic writing, yes, that was great for me. But the icing on the cake is if people can take something from this book, which I really feel that they can. And if it works for their life, then that makes me the happiest person ever.
That does sound awesome. Now, were you directed to try therapeutic writing, or was it just in your mind, this will help?
Well, I wasn't directed. I just felt like I had so many thoughts racing through my mind. And in the past, I did try and journal and such, and I would write at certain points in my life. But this time, there was just so many, I had such a direct vision. I think it really starts with a vision. Like in radio, we have to put our game face on. But this was sort of a thing where I had never worked a morning show before. And I feel like on morning shows, like I filled in and had some great experiences filling in for long periods of time. But I've never had my own show to call for a long period of time. And this was a chance to really, for people to really get to know what goes on in, or what has gone on in Rob's life beyond the 10-second intros that we get, the 40-second intros, just not enough time, and to be able to really tell the full story, but again, not make it so much about me, but there's chapters in there to really influence others in a positive direction. I have one on intermittent fasting and how that's helped benefit my life for the last 5-6 years, and I really dig deep into that chapter in hopes that people try it, and if it works for them, amazing. If it doesn't, then don't worry about it. Do what works for you. But I really feel like there is some words in there that will entice people to just try it, and that's how it's sort of been with me. I had a fellow that introduced it to me. He said, hey, Rob, just try it. If you're struggling with your weight and you want to maintain it and you want to perhaps lose 10 pounds, just try it. And try it for a week. Try it for a month. Then get back to me. And if it doesn't work for you, go back to what you were doing. And that was kind of, I really roll back into how it was first introduced to me, and I became really good friends with this individual, and how we have fun conversations in the last few years about intermittent fasting. He was on top of it more than I was, and on top of it more than the general population. Most everyone started getting into this intermittent fasting thing in the last couple of years, but he was on it before it became sort of a trend. Fasting's been around forever, but this guy, I can tell you, because I was introduced to it in about 2016, and it still hadn't been talked about as often as it is probably in the last couple of years. So I really try to get people to use it for a mental health aspect as well, to get things done in your day where you don't have to eat as much or as many times. And it gives you discipline daily. It's nothing to do with an eating disorder. It's about discipline and only eating to live, not living to eat.
I've heard of intermittent fasting, and it always, the whole not eating for periods of time freak me out. I think I would end up just eating more.
Well, I don't, see, that's the thing, and some people think that. It's just more like satiation. When you think about getting satiated when you eat, and most people, when they intermittent fast, they eat later in the day, or they'll have lunch 12:30, 1 in the afternoon. That's their first meal, the regular one, and then your dinner at about 6, 7 p.m. And realistically, the whole point is that when you eat until you're full and you're satisfied. And so really the discipline part that comes in to restrict calories is your morning time. What are you doing with your morning? So when you feel like your stomach is grumbling in the morning, do you really have to eat? Are you really that hungry? It's a mind thing where it's like, yeah, my stomach is grumbling, but you own your mind. It's kind of like you don't want your mind to own you. So what helps you propel you to get to the 1 o'clock hour, say, would be having a cup of black coffee, have your water throughout the day. And I'm telling you, that will suppress your appetite if you just focus on that and know that it takes about 21 days to form a habit, and the intermittent fasting habit would kick in after 21 days. It won't be comfortable at first. I guarantee you that the first couple weeks, but your body will adjust, and I'm telling you, I'm proof of that because I do the most extreme every single day. I leave the 1 hour window opportunity to eat. 23 hours a day I fast, and it's probably the best thing in terms of just in the moment living that I could do, so that I could be the best version of myself towards people, to be the best influencer, to be my best self in the moment. That this regime for me that I've picked up on is something that I've found to be very beneficial from a mental health standpoint, and to keep weight management in check.
Rob Daniels on the phone with me. He is the author of Beyond the Mic. Rob is a radio announcer, been town to town, up and down, wrote a book during the pandemic, and it is all about a good mindset. Rob, how do you stay positive in such an negative world these days? What's your secret?
I think is you always have to try and replace the negative thought with a positive. That's literally what it is. It's not an easy go for anybody in this world, but you choose how you're going to feel and think every day. And listen, it's not going to be perfect. I have my days too, but I have to always practice awareness. And that's what I want to try and preach to others as well, is practice awareness, which helps you manage your mind daily. So when you do feel not as well during the day, remind yourself, okay, why am I feeling like this? Well, I didn't have a good night's sleep last night. I got maybe 4 hours of sleep, and now I feel very agitated. I'm groggy. I can't focus as well. Yes, you're feeling all that, and you just can't wait to get to the next day. I know what that is. So what you do is practice these meditative practices in the moment by saying, yeah, being aware of your emotions internally and externally, and saying to yourself, yeah, okay, this is a bad day, but, you know, I'm going to try and get to sleep tonight a little earlier. I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to eat less than I did yesterday. I'm not going to have that hamburger at 11 o'clock at night that made me feel like this horrible way I'm feeling the next morning. So it's the constant state of trying to be in awareness that will help you get through your day. And I find that is the type of meditation, is mindfulness meditation during the day, in the moment. Try to live in the moment as much as you can. If you can't all the time, that is absolutely normal. Everybody does that. I do it all the time, where you're thinking towards the future. You're stuck in the past at times. Maybe a goal is to allot yourself that time during the day where you say, okay, I'm going to spend 10 to 15 minutes on the things that are bugging me. I have to do that just to sort of keep myself sane at the end of the day. And allot yourself that, but as much as you can, live in the moment, because that's certainly what is individual out there, because we're not guaranteed the future, and the past has already happened, so we can't change the past.
And Rob, one of the things on the back of your novel, it says you get cozy with the idea of getting comfortable but with being uncomfortable. That is a situation I know as a radio guy to a radio guy. There's times we have to be comfortable in very uncomfortable situations, but it's also something everyone goes through day by day. Do you have any pointers on that you could find in your novel if someone was to pick it up?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. There is a chapter 11, which is called Anxiety, Obsession, and Depression. And so what that really means in that chapter, it sort of relates to the front cover and the title of the novel, Beyond the Mic, is sort of envisioning that face on the front of the cover is not mine, but it was Robin Williams' face. And Robin Williams was able to say, as we're coming up on I believe on the anniversary of his passing in the next day or two here, he didn't get a chance to say what was on his mind. You could see in his eyes that there was pain there. He was the most electrifying entertainer out there and was a brilliant human being, but he was in pain, and emotional pain, and pain in the mind. And that's what this chapter is about. That's what this book is about, is to give you a glimpse as to, if you pull the mask off a little bit, not the COVID-19 mask, but the mask that we all try and put on daily to go about our days, to be able to get through them sometimes, this is what it is, a glimpse. And I give you that glimpse in that chapter, Anxiety, Obsession, and Depression, what I've dealt with in the past and what it does to you. So a lot of it is teaching it as well for people that are not sure what they're going through. So I give them a glimpse of what happened to me in the past and how and what anxiety does to you and the order of operation that it happens in. And it usually leads in that way, anxiety, obsession, and depression. So the anxiety is the negative anticipation towards the future. And that can be in anything that any of us have. COVID-19, that this has started with everybody. In terms of washing your hands all the time, I'll be completely honest, and I've been open about this ever since I put the book out, that I have had more so in the past. I still battle with it. I have my days, but I had a hand washing obsession before COVID hit, where I was washing my hands too much, and then all of a sudden, and I was trying to not do that, and then COVID hit, and it's like, wash your hands all the time, and my psyche was very twisted. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is driving me nuts. Like, what am I supposed to do? And everything I was doing, I'm like, oh, I was biting my nails. Did I sanitize before I went to the grocery store? Oh my gosh, did I forget? Everything was anxiety central. And so when you don't have that good night's sleep, when you are more agitated than normal, the anxiety is heightened. And so what happens is, anxiety then leads to the obsessional behaviors. So I want people to be aware that that's what it is that's happening. We have the negative anticipation towards the future, which is the anxiety, which is we are afraid that we might have COVID, we might be giving it to someone, we have no idea. So the obsessional behaviors begin. We start washing our hands way more than we're supposed to. And this happens. Anybody that may shy away from that, there are people out there that have this condition, where they do it even more than I have, where I've heard of a person taking a shower, and they take about an hour shower because they use an entire soap bar way up because they're so they have these obsessional behaviors of wanting to keep clean, that it's led to that extent. And this is a mental health issue. And so this is how, this is what happens. And so I want people to be aware that so when you are washing your hands, that, okay, you know what, I'm going to try my best to resist, okay? Whoever's doing this or whoever's listening to this and this is happening to you, resist, okay? So that's your option is you say, okay, I just did wash my hands. I did it, and even if it's not perfect, I've washed my hands, I'm going to put the soap bar down, and try your best not to grab the soap bar again and do it again just because you're so anxious. So that's the obsessional behaviors, and then when the obsessional behaviors happen, that can turn to depression as well. There is some depression involved in that, where you become depressed because these things are taking over your life. And so it usually leads in that order. It's not all the time, but that's what I sort of meant by the chapter and how it's happened to me over time. And so I give the people a glimpse of what I've gone through and what anxiety does to you as well. So a glimpse into that chapter, for example, is what the negative anticipation towards the future does, or even just being stuck in the past where you can't be present in the moment. I was trying to pick up a friend at a subway stop in Montreal, or a metro station, rather. That's what they call it there, the metro. And then I went to the wrong metro stop, because you're thinking, your mind is so clouded sometimes that you do these things where, or it's like, you know, you forgot your keys at home because you were thinking about something else. And we just have to go easy on one another, because these are all real, normal things. And anybody that chastises you for it, going through these things, is going through their own mental health problem, and that's a mental health concern. The reality is we go through these things, and it's about how to try and manage it instead of it managing you. So the tools is the awareness and trying to resist on these certain types of obsessional behaviors that one might go through.
Rob, do you have anything you'd like to say to anybody who is maybe listening to this or going to pick up your book and read and go, oh no, I do that? What do you suggest they do?
Like, in terms of if they do
the obsession with the hand washing and, you know, anxiety, depression. Let's go with the obsession one, the hand washing, and then like, oh, I've started to do that. How do I help myself? I think you said it best where you said you gotta just think about it. And do you give pointers like that in your book?
Yep. I give pointers on the obsessional behaviors and how I've sort of had to manage that exactly that by resisting. So I'm giving you like a little bit of a glimpse of what part of that chapter essentially is resisting. You know, I'll give you another one that I believe I revealed in the chapter. I can't exactly remember, sure, but here's an example. Another one. There's so many different ones that people can have anxious thoughts towards that are things that you shouldn't be worrying about. So the one for me, that is another one that I probably revealed in an interview before, is that it is the privacy issue. Okay, so if you want your privacy and you shut the door somewhere, and your my anxiousness is like, okay, is the door shut, or is the car to your the door to your car shut? Did you lock it? And how many times you beep the horn? I believe I wrote that in the book. Like, you know, instead of it being beeped twice to lock the front and the back doors, you beep it four times, sometimes five, because you're so anxious and you're like, okay, did I lock it? Or I was walking towards my friend's front door, and then you're busy, preoccupied with your thoughts that you do it again. And it's like, you should resist because you should not what if. And you try your best not to, but you have to start trusting yourself. So these are all these things. And the other resisting part would be if I close the door somewhere, don't go back and try and open it up. You have to resist. You close the door, Rob. Like it because there it is again. What's the anxiety? The awareness is you are having negative anticipation towards the future that somebody might see you when you're not supposed to be seen, when you're supposed to have your privacy. And what's the obsessional behaviors? Locking the door more than twice, more than three times, checking to make sure that it's closed, and that's it. So you close the door, you hear it, and that should be that. And so this is what is giving you the tools, is awareness, and that's internally and externally. So always, and so when you do that, you manage your thoughts and emotions way better than you would previously, because then you start talking to yourself and you're like, okay, this is why I feel like this now. It's the same thing for being in traffic. When you're in and you honk the horn in front of somebody that didn't make a left-hand turn in time on an advanced green, and it's because, oh, then it's like you're honking your horn, but there was no accident. There was a lot of people in line, but you honk your horn and you're like so frustrated because you wanted to make that advanced green. But really, if you look at your watch, you're like, oh man, I should have time managed my time better this morning. And it's me being aggravated at someone else because I didn't manage my time better. and that I'm a lot frustrated because maybe I didn't have a good night's sleep. And then you have to start, so that's your internal awareness, and then your external awareness has to be, well, why would I honk someone when I don't even know what they're going through? Maybe they had some sort of thing that was driving them nuts on their mind. I know you're supposed to focus on the road, but this is where we say, well, maybe this person in front of us had only 2 hours sleep and they have a sleeping problem and they're trying to get to their job. We don't know. And that's the external awareness that keeps us mastering our thoughts and emotions rather than getting frustrated beyond belief.
Rob Daniels on the phone, author of Beyond the Mic. Rob, one final question. Where can you get your book? Where can you pick it up if people are interested in purchasing it?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for that question. It is available on Amazon.ca and Amazon.com. Just search Rob Daniels, Beyond the Mic, or rather the opposite order, Beyond the Mic, Rob Daniels, and it's available in ebook and paperback. Anybody that supports, definitely, certainly, greatly appreciated. First time author, and I'm telling you, there's some fun stuff in there as well. It's not only about the mental health aspect. There's a chapter dedicated to the Field of Dreams movie site in Dyersville, Iowa, to try and positively influence people's lives, but to entice people to keep trying to dream and chase their dreams. There's a great chapter also on my brother, who I'm so grateful to have a sibling, a brother, so I named the chapter My Brother, The Blessing. So you get to know my brother's side. I reveal something as well about my brother, which I won't reveal here. You'll have to read it in the chapter, that it's something positive and it's a blessing in life. So My Brother, The Blessing is chapter 10. And I think it's a great read. It's something that I think people can definitely take something from this book positively.
Perfect, Rob. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Kevin, for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.